Good morning. Unveiling Satan's secret, the deception of time. I'm sure all of us have a watch or a clock around our house, or on our phone we have a clock also to measure time for our own benefit, so we'll show up to work late or on time. We won't be late, so we'll show up to church on time or home for dinner, whatever the case may be. We all have some form of instrument to tell us the time, and time is really just a measure that's man-made, a calibrated measure to help us understand history, that as things pass, there's a sequence of events that happened that based on this calibrated measure, and it's based off of the Earth's rotation and the Earth's revolution around the sun. That's where we get time. But here's the neat part, is that we assume that it never ends. We assume that time continues to go on for us. You see, we can't picture tomorrow without us being in it. We assume that tomorrow's story has a part for us. And that's one of the greatest deceptions that Satan can give to us, is that we just assume that tomorrow's story involves us. But the truth is that last night's sunset may have been the last one you've seen. Tomorrow's sunrise may have been the last one you've seen. The stars that we may have got through the clouds were the last one you saw twinkle. See, there's no guarantee in time that tomorrow holds our existence. We're not guaranteed anything tomorrow. Matter of fact, you're not even guaranteed that you'll get out of church and go to lunch today. The only thing that you're guaranteed is the oxygen that fills your lungs right now. And the last breath you took, you're not promised the next. But Satan wants us to believe that we have plenty of time. That we have plenty of time to spend on and do whatever we want. And that this Jesus person, well, he can wait. We're having too much fun. We're going about our lives and we really don't need Jesus right now. Well, we can do religion. Yeah, you can go to church. You like to hear the music. You like to listen to some preaching. But you really don't need Jesus in your life. The deception of time has sent many people to hell because they refuse to buy into the truth that Jesus said today is the day of salvation. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes to understand a little bit more about this thing called time and how Satan uses it to deceive people. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 through verse 11. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. Time to weep and a time to laugh. Time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. Time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. Time to be silent and a time to speak. Time to love and a time to hate. Time for war, time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden of God, the burden God has laid upon the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet, no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Let's pray together. Father God, today, help us understand more how important it is that we value today. As believers, that we take advantage of today to share our faith, God, and we take advantage of today to serve you by serving others. God, if someone does not know you as Savior, that they can't push us off till next week or the next or the next or the next. But Father, you said the day is the day of salvation because we don't know what tomorrow brings if tomorrow comes for us. Lord, help us. Give us insight. In Christ's name, amen. So we need to look at a few things about unveiling this deception of time that's stealing souls from joining God's kingdom. There are basically four lies that Satan camouflages with time. I want to reveal them today through God's word, expressing the elements of time. The first lie is this: you have plenty of it. You have plenty of time tomorrow to respond to Jesus through salvation. Ecclesiastes verse 1 and 2 says, "For everything there is a season, a time to be born and a time to die." The writer of Ecclesiastes clarifies for us today that today we are born at some point, but there is a death sentence for us also. This past week, I had the privilege, listen, that very honor of standing before the Assembly of God in Long Pine to preach the message of the former pastor of that church for 26 years, Pastor Donald Johnson. Listen, a godly man, a man that served Jesus through and through, wherever you saw him, he was there for Christ. God called him home, 80 years old. We don't know when our time will be. Listen, I've done funerals for children. I've done funerals for teenagers. I've done funerals for those in their 20s, those in 30s and 40s. Just go on up into their 90s. There was a limited time, Psalm 139 says, that God has already ordained. God has given a certain amount of days in his book, and that's it. Time ceases for us. But Satan would want us to believe that we have plenty of it. Plenty. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "I tell you now, it's the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Satan has devised one of the most effective tools to combat the urging of the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit begins to move in a person's life and begins to plant seeds and water those seeds, it begins to grow up the understanding of Christ as Savior. Satan has devised so many tools. It's called procrastination. Do you like to procrastinate things? All of us like, yeah. Procrastination. The story that Satan had a meeting with his demons to figure out what to do about so many lives, so many souls being saved. So he had this board meeting with some of the demons to figure out a plan that would work to draw people back away from Christ. In this meeting, the first demon says, "I have a plan. Why don't we tell them that Jesus was a liar and a fake, and that you sent him, Satan?" Satan's response was, "No, he has too many miracles and eyewitness accounts that prove that he was the Messiah. That won't work." Second demon said this. He said, "Well, tell people the Bible is fake and full of flaws and it can't be trusted." Satan's response was, "No, because Jesus fulfilled many prophecies and there's power in God's word." The third demon said this, "I have a brilliant idea." "Well, what is it?" "Look, we just tell the people that, listen, the Bible is true and Jesus is the Savior, but he loves them too much to send them to hell. They'll all go to heaven. He won't let anyone go to hell." Satan said, "No." And they said, "Why?" "Well, because if they read the end of the book, they would see that that's not true. That real people go to a real place called hell." Fourth demon said, This fourth demon, you remember Ed off the Lion King, kind of looked crazy? The hyena? This fourth demon kind of looked like Ed, the hyena. With a little smile and this innocent look, Satan said, "Okay, Ed, what have you got to say with your smiley face?" He said, "Just tell them they have plenty of time. You don't have to tell them anything else. Just tell them they have plenty of time." All the other demons began to laugh because it was so simple and so silly. And Satan said, "That's brilliant. That's brilliant. They'll never catch on. They'll never catch on that they don't have plenty of time, but we'll just tell them through deception and through lies and through history. We'll say, look at everything that's past. Listen, tomorrow is yours, but there's something in the human psyche. Listen, we assume that tomorrow we're written in that story. We'll make plans for the week. We'll make vacation plans. We'll do all of those things. And listen, we can do that. That's just good living. But with this understanding, we may not be there. We may not be there. Don't put off tomorrow what needs to be done today. What a tragedy to know that you are here today and that Jesus is offering salvation and you procrastinate his offer so that tomorrow, to see what tomorrow brings. Just procrastinate, just put it off. You and I are only promised the breath we have right now. Will you procrastinate any longer this walk with Christ? What about you, Christian? Will you procrastinate any longer? Will you procrastinate any longer truly walking with Jesus? Or would you rather just play church here and there, in and out? The second lie that we see Satan often sells people is this: an immediate decision to follow Jesus will make your family angry. You wouldn't want to upset them now, would you? Listen, one of the things that I've learned being in this part of the Louisiana is this, is that when one person gets saved and they leave what their family tradition, denomination, or religion is, sometimes their family gets very upset with them. Matter of fact, sometimes they are disowned. So a lie that people buy into is that, well, man, if I accept Christ, if I walk that aisle, if I give my life to Jesus, mama's going to be mad. Grandma and grandpa will not let me back in their house. You see, Billy Graham said this way, he said, "Salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have." See, we can be saved, but discipleship will cost you something. Being a disciple of Christ will cost you family members from time to time. Verse 3 says, Ecclesiastes, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to embrace and a time to turn away. Listen, there's a time that we need to tear away from some family traditions that are not good for us. There's some things that are even religious things that our family may be doing that we know and we see through Christ Jesus, that's not where he wants us to be. And we need to accept Christ and begin to follow him. We need to tear away from those things and build up our life in Christ. Matthew 10:37 said, "The person who loves his father and mother more than me," this is Jesus saying, "does not deserve to be my disciple." Listen, if you're holding on to a denomination or a religion because mama and daddy would get mad or get upset, Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple. You can't be my disciple. Seems to be a strong statement by Jesus, but he sets out a standard for his followers to learn the greatest command, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, with all your mind. And Deuteronomy, I like that, with all your strength. To love God more than anything means that I love my parents less than I love God. Will you follow Christ even if people get upset with you? Will you follow him no matter what? Will you truly be his disciple regardless if Mama disowned you, regardless if Papa have nothing to do with you, regardless if you are ousted from the family? Would you still follow Christ? And listen, I say that with great sympathy and great sensitivity to those who have to struggle with that. But understand, Jesus says, listen, we are to follow him at all cost. All cost. No person or thing should come between us and God. If you're here today and you're listening by radio, I'm inviting you to stop struggling with the decision of accepting Christ as Savior. If you're to hesitate because of your family, because they won't understand, here's the question. Who holds eternity, Mom and Daddy or God? Who will follow? Who will you follow? God holds eternity. He is calling you today. He is waiting on your decision. No one can stand in your place. Jesus calls you out. Just like in that video, he called Peter out. Listen, there was a time he called my name out. And it was a yes or no question. Will you follow me? I had to say yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. And today that question comes before you. It's either a yes or a no for Jesus. Listen, I've ran across this. I said, people will accept Christ. They'll come to my office and they'll sit down. We'll walk through the scriptures and they'll accept Christ. And we'll get to the point about baptism. Whoa, wait a minute. I want to be saved. I want Jesus, but I don't want to be baptized. Why not? That's just being obedient to Christ. It's hard to be saved and not be obedient. I've had some say, well, can I be baptized somewhere other than in the Baptist church? I said, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to go baptize you in Crooked Creek. And it did. Wherever there was water enough to cover them. Listen, these preconceived ideas we have about a church or denomination has to end. But Jesus didn't say it had to be Vilplatte water. He just wants obedience. So if you're struggling with this idea of baptism, listen, I'll baptize you in a swimming pool. I'll baptize you in a deep enough bathtub. I'll baptize you in Crooked Creek, Chico Park, wherever you want. Hey, the Gulf of Mexico, if you'll pay for me to go to Destin, Florida with you, I'll baptize you in some nice, clean water. Oh, I need to bring a few deacons along, too. A few church members along. We have two new vans out there. We'll just load them up and go. Is baptism necessary for salvation? It is necessary to be obedient. They go hand in hand. Listen, don't quench. And don't worry if Mom and Daddy get mad at you or Mama and Papa get mad at you because you have stood on your own and you said yes to Jesus. Because in the very end, Mama and Papa have to stand before Christ, and I hope they're saved too. But for you, that salvation is there. That's yours. That's your Savior. That's your eternity in heaven. The third lie that Satan often feeds people is this: sitting in church, this salvation message is not meant for you. You're a good person. What a lie. Verse 6 says, a time to search and a time to quit searching. See, and Scripture tells us there's a time that we need to search in our own life. We need to search and evaluate our own being, our own soul, our own condition. We say that we're a good person. Well, who are we measuring ourselves against? We usually say we're a good person because we think about our neighbors. We think about somebody else around us, and we think that we're as good as them or a little bit better than them. But that's not the measurement that God wants us to use. our measurement is to be against Christ, and boy, we don't look so good after all. Henry Ironside said, Christ is a substitute for everything, but nothing is a substitute for Christ. Our goodness, our good works is not a substitute for Christ Jesus. Nothing that we can do in our own well-being, in our own mind, in our own body, our own servanthood is a substitute for Christ Jesus. We are saved to do good works. Good works does not save us. Matthew 19, verse 16 and 17 says, a man came to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to have life forever? And Jesus answered him, Why do you ask me about what is good? Only God is good. But if you want to have life forever, obey the commands. But Jesus already knew that he couldn't obey the commands. That same man, he said, I've obeyed all of those commands from I was a little boy. And Jesus says, well, okay, then go sell everything you have. And the guy went away sorrowful because he was very wealthy. Jesus knew the man's heart. See, that's one thing that we come up that Satan cannot convince us, that Jesus already knows our heart. And there's nothing we can say to him that will convince him about anything about us that he doesn't already know. He sees right through us. When some people ask if they're going to heaven when they die, Satan has already forged an answer into them. I believe I'm good enough to go. I believe I'm good enough to go. So that prohibits them from giving their life to Christ. They begin to look at their goodness and not at salvation. So they put off another day and another day and another day, assuming that everything, they can do enough good works to get them to heaven. See, in their mind, they look back over the times they performed good acts, and somehow they measure that, and they continue to form good works, thinking that everything will be good for them when they stand before God, with working for this nonprofit organization and that nonprofit organization. Listen, I've heard people say about those who give and, you know, volunteer, which is a wonderful thing. They said, oh, they must be a saint because they work so much. Not without Jesus, they're not a saint. But here's the great news. With Jesus, everyone is a saint. Why? Because when God looks at us as his children, he doesn't see us and all of our sin. He sees Jesus Christ, our Savior. Listen, we will stand before God to be judged, both the saved and the lost, but on two different occasions. You see, the saved will stand before God to have their good deeds rewarded with crowns and all kind of awards for heaven. This is the judgment of their works. We see Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. It says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will come, meaning judgment day, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. The lost will stand before God with their good deeds, and God will evaluate their good deeds against what Jesus Christ has done. And their good deeds will be nothing, because Jesus Christ paid for everything and they did not accept it. They did not accept it. And they'll hear their words from Christ. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Today, this salvation message is for you. It's pointing to everyone who does not have a relationship with Christ, who's never called out to him as Savior, repented of their sin, believed him in faith. You see, when we say faith and repentance, it means you're returning from sin in faith to Jesus Christ. And now that you're walking in faith with him, if you've never repented of your sin and turned to Christ in faith as Savior, today is the day to do it. You're depending on your own good works if you do anything less. Jesus is calling you today. Please don't let Satan steal your time of salvation today. And the fourth lie is this. Satan wants us to believe this. Your excuses are acceptable to God. Remember, he loves you. What a lie. Yes, God loves you, but God doesn't buy into our excuses. We see there's a time to be quiet and a time to speak. See, today is a time for us to speak up to accept Christ as our Savior. Are you constantly giving God excuses for not making your decision to follow him? And we excuse ourselves over and over and over, thinking that tomorrow will come. Tomorrow I'll get serious about this. When the invitation time comes, you know the Holy Spirit is nudging you and he's convicting you. And listen, there was an old saying that, boy, I've seen people during invitation time and they'd grip onto the pew in front of them and their knuckles would turn white. They wanted to walk so bad and they were holding on for everything. And not walk up to accept Christ, not to make it public to others. Don't let that be you. You feel this weight upon you, and the Holy Spirit is beckoning you to come forward. It's coming to tell someone that you've accepted Christ. Boy, when you hold on, the longer you hold on, the more excuses Satan gives you to throw around. Well, there's too many people. Boy, the time, we need to go, you know, it's getting late in church. And listen, I'm too scared. People would laugh at me. Man, I've heard all kinds of excuses and used a bunch of them myself. One of the hardest things for people to do in making a public profession is to stand in front of other people because they're afraid of what they're going to think about them. Or they're afraid that, you know, when they walk up an aisle and shake the hand with the preacher, what will people think? Man, they're going to think I'm a pretty bad person. And the truth of the matter is that other Christians are rejoicing with you because they made that same track down an aisle. They're rejoicing with you. The lies that Satan sells and the excuses that we begin to formulate, and it just puts off for another week. Assuming that another week will get here, and it may not. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Or are you just holding on to excuse after excuse after excuse? Luke chapter 9, verse 26 says, if people are ashamed of me and what I say, the Son of Man will be ashamed of those people when he comes in his glory that he shares with the Father and the holy angels. You see, God doesn't accept our excuses. God looks right down to our heart. He begins to see everything about us, and he draws us to salvation. The Holy Spirit stirs in us. And listen, we have that decision to make. Will I just hold on to the back of this chair and not move, or will I take that step of faith and accept Christ as my Savior? Jesus didn't make any excuses to avoid the cross. Did he want to go to the cross? No. Matter of fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember he begged that God would find another way, but he accepted God's will. And he went to the cross for you, and he wants you to spend eternity with him. Is Jesus your Savior today? Today is your day for salvation, no excuses. See, time is not on your side. The longer we put up and buy into these lies that Satan has, it helps us to push till tomorrow what needs to be done today. And we push to the next day what needs to be done today. And we'll think, oh, next Sunday, and we'll put it off. Maybe next Wednesday, we'll put it off. All buying into the lies, assuming that we have plenty of time. Assuming that we have plenty of time. When Jesus is waiting for us today to make that decision for him, George Whitefield said this. He says, "And now let me address all of you, high and low, rich and poor, one with another, to accept of mercy and grace while it is offered to you. Now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation, and will you not accept it? Now it is offered unto you." Have you bought into the lies of Satan, thinking that you have all the time in the world? And we procrastinate with our excuses. We're thinking that we're good enough. And it just delays us and delays us and delays us. Whatever lie Satan sells to us just pushes off one more day our salvation. A day that we're not guaranteed that we will have. A day that we may never come for us. Will you today accept him? Will you today? I'll be here right after service. I have a whole hour before the next service starts. Won't you just come on up here and meet me? Say, "Brother Kevin, I need to give my life to Christ." We'll just sit down and I'll pray with you. And I want to meet with you to spend more time with you. I want to walk through scripture with you to help you see the decision that you made today. I don't want you to walk through it ignorant. I want you to walk through based on God's word, not on what this preacher says, but based on God's word. Will you today accept Christ as your Savior and not buy into the lie of Satan that you have plenty of time? Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your great love. God, I thank you that we can pierce through and see where Satan is lying to us. Can pierce through and understand that Satan has a deceptive plan to keep people at bay away from the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today that you would break through some hearts and break down some barriers. And Lord, that you would help those who need salvation to make that step. In Christ's name. Listen, today,